Tonight, comedian James Vickery rides sidecar as we chat with author Lizzie Skernick about her new book, That Ought to Be a Word. We also check in with Illinois Leader of the House, Lou Lang, and so much more. Right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, man, it is Friday night. You know what I think? We've been trying to figure out, because we love getting to hang out as much as we can with Jill and Rob. I think like whenever you guys can hang out, we should do like a weekend wind-up. Right, so whatever that is, and just hang out with you guys like for your first cocktail of the weekend. I think you should have with Jill.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's
listen to us.
We sound desperate.
No, don't. I'm desperate for your company as well. So I want to be able to send you off to the weekend. Rob, I know that you work on the weekends here, don't you? Doing news.
I do. Tomorrow, let's see. I'll be in at 9 tomorrow morning.
Okay, so maybe Fridays are not good for you. Maybe we do a.
Well, normally it's 11, so it's okay. We can
normally he's okay on Friday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or we get Rob drunk enough to where he just sleeps here and then does the news in the morning. So that makes sense.
I have a couch for you.
Yeah, we got a couch, Rob.
I did it last night.
Line up some shots.
I took 3 2-hour naps today.
That will not be the first time that has happened to me in my radio career where I've spent the night at a radio station.
Well, there you go.
It'll be the first time it happened that we got to witness, though, and that's important.
And I highly recommend my office. I have no windows. All the wonderful offices right here outside of the hallway of our studio, they all have scrims. So they all have the huge, beautiful Blackhawks banners right now. The problem being, if you do want to sleep in those offices, it's one, it bakes you when the sun comes up, and at night you freeze, and also the sunlight. Our office, Craig, we have the cave.
Oh, yeah. No, you could sleep in there any time of day.
You can. I went back to bed this morning after doing Steve Cochran's show. I went to bed at 6:30 this morning, and I turned the light off, and I was like in pitch blackness. I was like, oh, I need a flashlight.
I was going to ask you about all the stuff you set up, like the toothbrush and things in our office. Mm-hmm. I think that's okay, right?
I think so. My sheets. I have pillows in there.
And the mirror you put up, that was nice of you.
Yeah, this full-length mirror.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have one at home. Have I ever told you I do not have a full-length mirror at home?
No.
So I'm pretty much guessing when I leave the house.
I don't either, Patty.
Isn't that? We're guessing, aren't we? We just kind of hope that it gets pulled together.
Well,
somehow.
I'm hoping from wherever it stops down, it's all good.
Yes. I can only see myself from about the rib cage up is all I have.
Yeah.
Jill and I, why won't our husbands put up a full-length mirror for us?
I don't. You know what? I never thought about
you
it.
Haven't asked.
We haven't. That's a good point. Have you asked Jill for a full-length mirror?
No.
We need full-length mirrors.
Probably, but I'm just like, well, as long as I have clothes on when I leave the house, I'm good. And
yes,
jewelry.
I agree. Right. We can tell how the jewelry looks. Esmeralda Leon is in the studio with me. Do you have a full-length mirror, my friend?
I do have one. I bought it at Target. And it just hangs over my closet door.
Oh, you said those two clips?
But only because before that, I was standing on a chair
in
my bathroom and just checking if the bottom half was
Yeah, I've stood on toilet seats. I know what you mean.
Terribly dangerous. Terribly dangerous.
It's okay. There's enough room.
So I now know that there must be more women out there who do not have full-length mirrors, and they just this is what we do.
That is so funny because we have two.
Yes.
Full-length mirrors.
Don't be stingy, Rob.
Yeah, greedy and everything.
You have two, huh?
We have two.
Two full-length mirrors.
One in the bedroom and one out in the hallway.
Yeah, you do.
Is it on the ceiling?
I was just going to ask.
Objects may appear closer.
I wish.
Objects may appear larger. Objects may appear. That's a Gary Shandling joke. It was his very first Tonight Show appearance. He said, objects may appear larger. Oh, that is. I don't want to tell you what's been on that window.
What's on the window?
They just seem so excited, the people outside.
She pushed her nose. I've never seen someone do the nose thing. We've seen the lips with the blowfish thing.
Yeah. Well, the nose isn't so bad, though. Hopefully that didn't infect her.
And I didn't want to tell her what was going on in there, too.
Yeah. What did she do?
She shoved her nose up so it like had that.
That smash
nose.
She did a pig nose, yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Very unsanitary, please, people. Don't do that.
There's all kinds of things. Now, look at all the imprints we have on our.
You should put a sign that says, caution, might. Infections?
Yeah. I think caution, you don't even want to know.
No pig snouts.
Or just a little picture of someone with like looking sad and sickly with one of those bags on their head.
Yeah. Well, Amy Guth has a great story about, you know, there's a certain time of day, like you can't really tell that there's somebody in here, like around dawn. So the sun's coming up and from the glare on the windows, it looks like it's empty in here. And this gentleman, I don't know if you can say gentleman, when they were leaving themselves on the window. So this guy is just, yeah. So there are things that happen in our showcase studio. So if you are downtown, please feel free to wave. We will wave back. We love that. The banging on the window thing is weird. But body parts, we've had various body parts pressed up against the glass on various occasions.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
It's a strange place to be here. Now I feel like I'm encouraging people.
If anything, don't do it on the front one. Do it on the sides because these seem to have less.
Well, yes. Behind me, I have no idea.
Yeah,
what's
that one's probably
right
cleaner.
Yeah, Craig's got a full straight shot right there. And then can you see the side? That's for me, that's right in front.
There's actually a little bit of a glare with the lights here in studio, though. I can't always make out what they're doing directly. So, yeah, the closest window to me would be good if you want me to witness your stupidity.
I say just bring your own little bottle of Windex, and after you're done putting parts on the window, just wipe it off.
For the next
one.
That's very
courteous.
Considerate.
Yes.
I like that.
We should just set a little table up outside with a bottle of Windex.
A dispenser.
Clean up after yourself.
A dispenser,
Kind of like when you go to the grocery store now. They have like the sanitary wipes to clean the cart handle with. Yeah. Can't clean the glass. Once you're done making your impressions, both psychological on Craig and I, and also physical on the glass, you can clean up after yourself.
Rob sounded really into this
idea. I know, I was just going to say that.
Didn't he? They've got those, you know, those standing things as you walk in with the hand sanitizer. We can do that outside.
Yeah.
Please clean up after yourself.
Yeah, just kind of just clip it onto the
Your
wall
mothers aren't here. Please wipe down the window when you're done.
I like that very much because a gentleman that comes by, and he is a gentleman, the one that cleans the windows, he doesn't need more work than is necessary with your snot and other bodily fluids.
Yeah. How about please wipe down the glass after you show your ass?
Yeah, girl,
hallelujah.
There we go.
I don't know if I could say that on the radio.
Yeah.
It's pretty late. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I hesitated there in the middle of that read because right before we went live, I took a bite of pizza because I couldn't wait. And it was hot. I burned my mouth and ouch. Why? What
oh,
is
no,
it?
Oh, no, the roof of your mouth?
Mm-hmm. And the
that's,
tongue.
That's not going to go away for a couple days.
The worst is when you get that piece of that skin that burns.
Oh, that is the worst. Yeah. But do you take it off? Do you like go in there with a tissue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to rip it off. Yep. But what is it about pizza? We can't wait for it to cool off.
Well, actually, pizza is sometimes deceptively hot. Like, you can't tell by looking at the top because the cheese is covering the steam or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So you bite into it, and then the sauce just burns you.
And you got to have it. And the thing is, that, like, we just keep chewing. Like, when something's in your mouth and it's burning, why isn't the instinct to, like, just let it fall out of your mouth and get rid of it and put something
Depending on how hot it is, that is my instinct, Patty. I do just let it drop
just
out.
Too hot.
Maybe not at work, though. I understand not doing that here.
I think one time I've gone into a break sooner than I thought and had to. You've seen me just spit into my hand before.
I have.
That's probably Brandon Price again.
Brandon's hitting you up.
On the Twitters, I have to turn my phone
off. Well, and we're expecting the James Vickery at any moment.
Yes, well, I asked him to stop for supplies on the way.
Good.
Yes,
that was nice.
It's Friday night. I think that we should have, we should at least, you know, toast the weekend is what I think we should do.
I believe in that.
So I just did a show at Zany's in St. Charles, and I thank everyone that came out tonight. We do have two shows Saturday night at 7:30, 9:45, 312. Sorry, Craig, here we go. Give us a call at 312-981-7200.
Perfect.
Thank you. Please give us a call at 312-981-7200 for free tickets to Zany's in St. Charles.
And if you're worried tomorrow that you would miss the Blackhawks game by going to Patty's show, do not fear.
No, it's only Game two, first of all.
It's still Stanley Cup, so you know you're going to want to know.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, you definitely want to know about that. But I will go ahead and text you score updates.
Perfect.
Along with drunken pictures.
Oh, that's right.
Throughout the night.
Are you going to be at different bars or are you staying in one location?
I was planning on going to one, but if you want variety, I'll go to several.
No, I'm not going to make you
I'll drag my friends out and
Is this for the winners?
Yeah, what, that they get the
updates?
No, the whole audience will get updates.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So 312-981-7200. I have a set of four tickets for Zany's in St. Charles.
And if, and I doubt this will happen, but I'm going to knock on wood so I don't jinx anything, if by some chance they're losing by a couple goals, my pictures are probably going to be really drunk.
Oh, really?
And sad.
You get drunk when do you get drunk when they're doing well, too?
No, because you actually want to
pay attention
and watch the whole game. But if your team starts losing by a couple,
you
get a little saucier.
The last place you were at, you said you were enjoying pints of Hams.
Hams. That was the after Blackhawks bar.
From the land of sky blue waters. Nobody?
Lovely.
Nobody knows that song? All right.
Is that from, I remember that.
That jingle? It's the bear going down the Roaring Rapids.
From the land of sky blue waters. Yeah, that's it.
Was he on a raft?
Yes.
What was it?
Do you remember?
No, I don't.
The bear on the raft?
No.
Nobody remembers.
No,
the
I didn't know
hams
had commercials.
I totally remember it,
yes,
Patty.
Yes, they did. They used to have a marketing campaign. Now they're just cheap beer. They don't need the marketing.
Oh, yeah, no, they're like Funyuns.
Everybody knows. Funyuns.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no commercials for Funyuns. Yeah. Everyone knows they're good.
They just are.
They don't need advertising.
Not at all. It's a little bit like a PBR.
There's a man dancing for you.
There's a man. I don't know if that's, is that dancing? Something.
Yeah, it's close.
He's always, they're videotaping him as well.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah.
I see. It's not
this
really for us.
This is the land of sky blue waters, land of cool enchantment. Listen.
That does not
sound good. Oh,
it's a beaver.
It's a beaver. I apologize. It's not a bear.
And now he's on a lake.
A log.
He's running on a log.
Oh, boy.
Waters.
That makes more sense because the beaver knocks that big tree trunk and then he can ride it.
Yes.
He's right. I love that commercial.
A bear would just he just swims, right?
I have never seen this commercial.
You're too young.
This is the very first time.
Isn't it lovely, though? It's enchanting.
Yeah. There's some
it?
Nice live shots of mm-hmm. the land of sky blue waters mm-hmm. and then a cartoon.
It was a wonderful beer commercial.
Really?
Targeting the wrong audience,
are
perhaps.
Are the beavers at one point drinking the hams, at least?
Oh, that would
no,
be great.
The cartoon, they don't partake.
I would like to film some commercials for hams and do that. I think some live shots. They've got the cans.
You drink. Okay.
But then you combine these commercials that I grew up with, which is hams, and then the Native American standing by the side of the polluted river with just a tear coming out of his eye.
I like hams.
I like hams too.
I enjoy a good hams.
Why don't we recreate old commercials as a gimmick? Why don't we just do that? Let's just do a bunch of old commercials.
Would you be a beaver?
Yeah, we would both be beavers, I imagine.
Okay.
We could all be beavers.
Sure.
Esmeralda, if you'd want to be in on it.
Would you like to be a beaver,
and then we're
too?
Going down like a fake water thing. And
I think Tim Barnes has to get
I'll
on board
be the
with
beaver
this.
That stays on the shore.
That'd actually be really adorable. Oh, you're the one drinking the hams.
I don't want to be a beaver. Jill abstains from being a beaver in
you
this
sure,
scenario.
Jill?
I'm pretty sure.
She'll be the voiceover. She can do the voiceover.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yes, I think that makes sense.
There's also a couple at the very end of the commercial. Would you like to be part of that couple?
Oh, there you go.
Maybe we can cast Dan.
Oh, there we go. Dan and Jill enjoying their hams.
Someone also has to hit that drum.
Ba, ba, ba,
they have to do that drum sound.
Yeah, I like
it's
that.
It's a very like ominous sounding commercial, but I remember that as a kid.
Yeah, I don't know why it sticks in my mind. I'll bet you our parents don't remember it. That's one of those campaigns that certainly struck a note with children rather than the people that are, you know, of legal age to consume said beverage. Yeah, there are certain things that like I remember the Christmas Gillette. Wasn't there like a razor blade at Christmas time and it was like a sled? No, you're all too young
is
for
it
that.
The best the man can get?
I remember cereal cartoon commercials. Mm-hmm. Those were a big deal. When
Snap,
I was
Crackle, Pop.
Snap, Crackle, and Pop
were
awesome.
Quisp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Quisp. Yeah, these are
a bunch of them.
Some good ones.
The Raisinettes.
Now it's just women sort of dominate like spokespersons for commercials. That's what you remember now is the Geico girl, right? The woman.
Yeah.
And the Wendy's commercial and the woman for Toyota.
Wendy.
Yeah, Wendy.
Oh, yeah. They're all ladies except, Mayhem.
Man, I love Mayhem.
Speaking of, yes.
Yeah.
Being
or
in the
AT&T
stage
lady.
Showcase. Yeah.
See? But Mayhem has a show now that just got canceled, actually. Battle Creek got canceled. That was a CBS show.
Oh.
I know.
Poor Mayhem.
Let's reflect on
Mayhem. I wonder if Mayhem caused that to happen.
Mayhem may have caused that. Those are great commercials. Let's listen to this commercial, see how that one goes. You are listening Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and our guest, author Lizzie Skiernick, kind of looking around like, what is happening? It's Friday night, we've got pizza, we've got beverages, and we welcome you to our weekend wind-up, really. We're just kind of celebrating. It's been a long week. Welcome. Where are you from originally?
Originally, I was born in the Bronx, mm-hmm. and I'm from Englewood, New Jersey, and I live in Jersey City. Right
Craig
now.
Has got his fists up because he's a New Jersey native.
Jersey.
I walked out to go to the restroom, but I knew the answer to that question,
yes.
So I had to come back to put my fists up because New Jersey.
Because New Jersey. Now, are you traveling through for a book tour?
Yes.
And
yes.
What is the name of your book?
It's called That Should Be a Word.
There's so many of them, I'll bet.
Yes.
What was the genesis for That Should Be a Word? Just... things that you've heard people say and like, because I'm an eavesdropper. Are you an eavesdropper?
I am an eavesdropper a mm-hmm. little bit. Well, I've always made up words. And so when it comes from a column in the New York Times Magazine, but it does. It's sometimes mm-hmm. words people ask me for, you know, like someone once asked me for a word, the sound when you hear an old Barbra Streisand song. So that word was sentiental.
Sentiental. Oh my gosh.
It's so perfect. You truly have a skill for that.
I know. It is a weird skill.
When you say that, once in a while there's somebody who doesn't get it. And what's your response when you say sentimental? Do you have to spell it out for them and then it gets kind of tedious?
Well, I did do it to an audience in Portland, mm-hmm. tell them that joke, and no one got it. And then later someone was like, there's no Jews in Portland. And I was like, oh, that's why.
Is that true?
For anyone listening who is like, I don't get it, we're not trying to be condescending.
No.
But it's one, it's a play off the word sentimental,
yes.
right? And then also Yentl, very popular movie that Barbara Streisand made. Yes. And she decides to dress up as a man in order to yes. be a rabbi.
Yes.
And she wants to be a Yentl.
Yes.
There you go. So it's sent a Yentl.
It's sent a Yentl.
And that movie is often conjured up when you're kind of, you know, certain songs that she sang. And,
yes.
And, yeah.
Well, if I'd been able to think of something with Fiddler on the Roof and mm-hmm. Sunrise Sunset, that right. probably would have been better, but no. that's very long for a word.
Yes. So and that is actually crucial, obviously, is precision of both the sound and the images it conjures up.
Yes, exactly. One of the words I was happiest about was brattle, mm-hmm. and that's to talk too much about your children.
Oh!
and I like that because it has brat in
yes.
it. It has rattle, prattle,
yes.
rattle and battle, and mm-hmm. the other kind of rattle and rat.
It's a great word.
Thank you.
I love this conversation.
James Vickery. Yes. Well, James Vickery and I are stand-up comics. Mm-hmm. So
yes. No,
so
I know.
So the choice of words are often very important. Like there's always these rules that T words, yes. K words, P, like pickle is a great word.
Yes.
So those kinds of things.
Pants. I like the word pants.
I made up a word with pants.
Really?
Someone asked me for one. Yes. And so I made up pantsy, which is the feeling you have at the end of the day when you just want to get out of your pants.
I'm getting pantsy.
I know.
And oh my God. Right? Yeah. That's so great. Like, there's something vaguely sexual about it, but it's also very lazy.
Yes.
I like that.
I'm getting pantsy. Pantsy.
So you're sexual but lazy.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, poor Kristen. I'm so sorry.
Sums me up.
That's a fantastic. What is the name of the book?
It's called That Should Be a Word.
That Should Be a Word. And you're touring right now. Yes. And so are you reading from the book? And just it's got to be so delicious to be in the audience because you have such a wonderful way of conjuring these things up, as I said.
Oh, well, actually, at Printer's Row on Saturday at 2, I have a word game that goes with the book called Watch Your Language.
Ooh. A lot of listeners would like me to do that.
Yeah.
Yes. They want me to. Patty Woodham, can you be there?
There yes. is a dirty version of the game, but we're not doing the dirty version of the game.
Okay.
So your listeners will be happy.
James just got very sad.
I know. But it's a fun word game where you get to make up words and also find out about words.
Okay.
And so I do that with the book because otherwise I really would just be reading 250
yes.
words out loud, which I would enjoy, but I don't think anyone else would enjoy it.
I think they would, but what a smart way to engage people, too.
Yes.
Wow. Well, what is your background in? Are you in English? Like in hit?
Yes. Yeah. I was an English major. I'm a writer. I do a lot of stuff for teens. I have another book called Shelf Discovery, which is about like teen books, like mm-hmm. Judy Blume and Lois Duncan and all of that.
So important. Judy Blume is. I don't know. Is it still translated? Have they updated like the sanitary napkin
yes,
belt and everything?
They did
yes.
actually.
Sorry, James.
Update it. Yes. They took away the belt.
Yes.
And now it's a stick-on pad.
Okay.
But I was sad because, you know, when I first read the book, it had the belt. But
yes.
when I got old enough to have my period – sorry, no. We're just going to talk about periods the whole
yes.
time.
Well, that's what the belt is about.
But that's what radio's for.
Yes.
And I didn't know what a belt was.
Me neither.
But I just asked my mom. And so I just feel like can't kids just – ask someone
yes.
nowadays, like, why does everything have to be updated?
Right.
Them?
I mean, like, Little House on the Prairie, you're not going to put her, like, in a condominium instead of, like, on the banks of the Plum Creek, right? It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. I agree with you.
Yes.
I mean, but I'd heard that it had been updated, but she's still, we must increase our bust.
Yes.
And spin the
there.
Bottle.
Wait, was that Judy Blume?
That was, Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret.
Yeah.
That was from that? Oh,
yes.
Yeah,
oh, you've heard me say it on stage?
Well, no, it was a real saying.
I know the saying. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. That's how it was popularized.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was the first book to tell the true story about how you get very jealous when your friends get their periods before you do.
I was not jealous.
I was so jealous. I was the last one.
Oh, well, see,
I was 13.
But none of us really talked about it, though. I think that's why.
Where did you grow up?
Norwood Park on the northwest side of Chicago. I went to a Lutheran school, so it wasn't like it was too, you know, we weren't Catholic, so we weren't too sort of sheltered, but we also were not in public school.
Oh.
But no, nobody really I mean, like you get taunted, you know. I remember one girl actually transferred. She might have been one of the first, but like a pad fell out of her back pocket or something.
Yes, that's always embarrassing.
That was like she went up to the board. And then she was gone. She was not in our school anymore.
Really?
Oh
yeah. I'm not even kidding. I don't know if it's directly related to that. We just remember that Maria, something fell out of her pocket, and then she never came back. And then she was gone. She was shuttled away.
At least it didn't fall out while she was wearing it. That happens sometimes.
Well, in our memories, when we get together, like for some people it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And I just know that something fell out. There was a hole. Everyone was in a tizzy. And I don't really.
It's like the three faces of Eve.
Yes. I'm not entirely sure what the true story was, except that she did leave the school.
The three faces of summer.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. We didn't.
Was the belt in the book? I'm sorry. I'm going back. I don't understand.
The book.
You made
comes
it sound like it was
with
a stick.
A belt. It's a. The book is actually belted. You use the book as a sanitary napkin after you read it.
Before the 1970s, I guess, sanitary napkins did not have adhesive. They didn't have sticky parts in them. So you wore a belt to keep it in place. So it went around the waist and through the crotch.
Which I was always sad that we didn't have that because that seemed so fancy.
You should bring it back.
That's true. All the young hipsters.
Right. It's all
you
retro.
You wear your keys. They wear their sanitary napkin.
All right. I'm going to need... After the break, I'm going to need adult warning because there is a product out there that now I wasn't going to talk about it on the air, but since I have a kindred spirit on the show with me, I think that I'm going to have to bring it up. That there is a new product, and I will. So after the break, so those of you who don't want to talk about this anymore, but there's a new product out there for women. I know it's not after midnight, but I'm fascinated by this.
Is it granny panties?
But they have a. I'm going to look up the website, but no, it's got a built-in. You're supposed to be able to wear it, and it's supposed to be able to like.
Warning!
Literally.
We are entering adult topics here. You have been warned.
I'm not wearing the headphones.
You can't hear it.
But we will keep it classy.
So that's our warning, let people know. But is really menstruating an adult topic? Or is it just a biological topic?
Half of us do it. It's not dirty, perverts.
It is not. I don't know if perverts.
Here, do you have headphones for her?
Oh,
yeah. Let's put the warning again. She hasn't got. Well, let's go to a break and we'll warn people once again. I don't think that menstruating is a dirty topic. I think it's an adult. Oh.
It's a human topic, right?
It's a human topic. Yes. Yeah, half the population, like she said.
I don't know. This thing's just on the fritz now. We permanently broke this.
I don't know what's happening. Let's see if we can fix it during the break. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 312-981-7200. You can join the conversation anytime. And just, I hope you keep listening. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio with our very good friend now, because we've had so much fun in the last segment with Lizzie Swanky. How do I pronounce your last name?
Skernick.
Swanky? Where's Swanky come from? I did that before. I did it for our pre-record.
It was so close, though, Patty. Like, I've heard it both ways. Others have pronounced it Swanky.
I'm so distracted by other things that were happening off the air.
There's
in the suburbs.
There isn't even an A in her last name.
Swanky. She's
or
so
a
Swanky.
W.
Or a Y or anything to...
Liz.
By the way, the name of the book is That Should Be a Word.
I asked her twice in the first segment, by the way, just so you know. That should be a word.
I'm always glad to have the chance to repeat it.
Yeah, there you go. Lizzie, we were talking a little bit about online dating off the air. Do you have anything in your book about online dating?
Oh, I do, actually. Oh, God, but I can't remember it. Well, I do have I have a word for when you try to make yourself look good online because you're dating somebody, and I don't know what that word is
That's
anymore.
Okay.
But if you buy the book,
you'll
find the word. I do have a whole section on online dating.
I have a full file pick.
Full file pick.
Faux, like fake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Oh, that's awful.
Well, I know.
That's an awful thing because, you know, you're lying about yourself completely. I'm going to have to go buy this book.
Right?
Read the whole online dating section.
Yes.
What are
Come read my book. I have one entry.
What are some of the favorites, Lizzie, that readers have told you that they really sort of have been attracted to?
Oh, well, they really like domineering, which is to rule a situation by being totally dramatic and crazy.
That's interesting.
Everyone has an ex like that.
Domineering.
Some people really liked chorgasm, which is something that happens in a long-term relationship.
Okay. We're all glued. We're like,
tell us totally.
I mean, I've had chorgasms before, but that was just because my show was starting, like a scandal was coming on or something.
I can't say more because I think we're on the radio. But it's just, you know, when you are in a relationship for a long time, periodically finishing is not pleasant.
Oh,
Right? But you do it. You get in there.
Reaching
and
a climax?
You
just to get it over with?
Just
like I said.
Can I say, you don't always have to be in a long-term relationship to do that.
By the way, the word we were looking for earlier, I think, is woogle.
Oh, yeah, woogle. Very good. Yes, thank you.
What's a woogle?
Woogle is where you make yourself look good online so that when someone Googles you.
Oh.
Woogle. Yeah,
it.
Woogle.
Nice.
I like – you're fantastic at this.
I'm a genius.
You are. How long did this book take to compile?
Well, let's see. I did the column for about 3 years. And then I wrote the next 100 words because I added 100 or 150 words in the next few months because I'm really manic. And I run.
And honest.
Incredibly
manic. As we go, honest and manic. I can't stop doing this. This is all I'm going to do now the
rest
of my life.
I know, see? Exactly. It's hard to stop.
Do you drive people crazy at dinners?
No. People ask me. They want them. They're crazy. They won't leave me alone.
Oh, I won't keep asking you then.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Let's share the ones that you enjoy sharing, the ones that you want to pitch your event this weekend at LitFest.
Yes. Well, Skinjecture is also one of my favorites. That's to try to figure out if someone has had plastic surgery or not.
Skinjecture.
Skinjecture. And it has inject in the middle.
We have a former guest that we've done that with. We've played that game with several times. And do people find that to be – are there any words that you have that people are like – they take umbrage with or they find offensive or just mean?
Well, okay. So I had a baby about 2 years ago and I had a lot of friends. I didn't do IVF, but I had a lot of friends at the time who were doing IVF. And so I made up a word for when you're counting down your fertility with IVF, which is speed vialing.
Speed vialing. Oh, no.
Wow, that sounds terrible.
I got in trouble for that one.
From your friends?
God.
They're like, are you talking about me? No.
No.
I was Googling and then I Woogled.
I was Woogling.
I was Woogling. And then also I used to I got a smartphone partly so that I could look up bathrooms when I was pregnant. I don't know if anyone here has ever been pregnant, but you need to go to the bathroom all the time. And so the word for that was Loogle.
Loogle?
Loogle. Like a loo.
I've never been pregnant, but I know your pain of
yes.
I always like to know where there's the nearest good, clean bathroom.
Yes.
Well, this neighborhood is great because it's filled with hotels.
Hotels are the best bathrooms.
You just swan right in there like you're staying there.
Yes. That's very confidence. You stride in.
Yes.
With confidence.
Any
you say
random
swan
room.
In? I swan in. Yes. The Ritz-Carlton is great for that. It has the best bathroom.
Can you hold on? I'm going to go down to the Intercontinental.
Feeling something coming out.
Wouldn't that be great? Like if between during every break, you're like, "Where's Patty? She's at the Intercontinental. There's a bathroom right out the door." Yeah, but it's
they
really...
have a no Patty sign outside. No. They wouldn't, Patty.
Yeah, no. I now when you have these events and you do, they said they have a game for your audience tomorrow.
Yes. Well, I made up the game. Yes. No. It's Sunday.
It's Sunday at 2. And let's make sure we get the information for how to get tickets for that too. I'm guessing.
I don't think you need tickets. Yes, you do. You need tickets for Printer's Row.
Yes, that's okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Don't beat yourself up.
I don't know how anything works.
Yeah, we don't want you to beat yourself up. You're like, I do the word things. That's awesome. Okay, so for 3 years you wrote a column and you just realized that there were certain things out there that didn't have appropriate description?
Well, yeah. At first I was just making up puns for myself. You know, it would be things I was thinking of. Like I made up one for when you look up someone online and you're trying to find bad stuff about them. So that's smirch. And once people started asking me, you know, someone asked me for what's the word for when you bite into a chocolate chip, you think it's a chocolate chip cookie, but it's raisin. And so I made that one as betrayal. And so it was just like that. And then I realized as I was writing the book that it really was sort of becoming the story of culture because there was like food and sex and work and people. Like if you have no money, that's bangst.
and nice. What's povertunity?
Oh, povertunity is when you have a job that pays more in prestige than in money.
Okay.
It's basically a very high class internship.
Yeah.
Is that you?
I've been in those situations. I have.
Every job I've ever had.
That's, yeah, that's a lot of radio, though.
And a kinnovator?
A kinnovator is somebody who has a family that's sort of, because I had my son by sperm that I bought, and I have a lot of friends.
This is the best interview I've ever had.
It was self-purchased sperm.
Okay.
And so Kinovator, I made it for all of my friends that also have, you know, non-traditional families.
Okay.
And you sort of make up your own family.
So your own kin. Oh, you, I see. You
innovate.
You innovate your kin.
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, that's fantastic. And by the way, I think that my favorite thing was Craig going, sure.
The way sperm. She said that was just great.
Well, it was.
It was with sperm that I bought.
Right. Yeah. We've talked to people who've bought breast milk over right. The internet.
Well, some people buy children, I think, so.
That was great. I made my son with sperm, but breast milk over the internet. I do like the line that you have.
That's my line.
That's your line. Is
bought in breast milk is
well,
my line.
And but it wasn't for people to give to their babies. It was this guy who was working out because he wants to recover quicker from his workouts.
That's so much worse.
I think
that's
some terrible. People do it for their babies online. It's not just for people that work out.
I know, but I'm saying the gentleman we talked to, it was for that purpose.
He was doing a 30-day breast milk workout. Is there a word for that?
a breast milk pump. So he was pumping himself up.
Okay,
we're workshopping it. That's good. That was good.
This is how it happens.
I do believe that am I a clanarchist? I don't know if I'm a clanarchist. Because my husband and I both live with my mom.
Yes, you're totally a clanarchist.
I'm a clanarchist.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
living with your mom is so old school. I love that.
It really is.
My dad watches my child and my nephews and everything. We sort of do it old school that way.
Yeah.
We all have Saturday dinner.
Oh, we do. My mom makes Sunday brunch.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I never go to it because I'm always... Mom, I'm so sorry. I'm always sleeping.
No, I picture you eating in another restaurant.
That's such a bad excuse also. Like, I'm always sleeping.
Sunday is one of the days that I get to sleep because I've been traveling a lot and I'm doing this show. Mom, I'm so sorry. But she always like makes a plate for me and like everybody, my sons and my husband, they do brunch with my mom. And then
I'm coming to that.
You should come and sit for me.
I'm coming. I will take your place.
I think that Lizzie Skernick should come for me and sit at my spot.
Yeah, I totally would.
More after this on Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It's Friday night. I have spent the entire week in the Allstate Showcase studio, whereas the last few weeks I've been traveling to Springfield to find out what's going on down there. And you may not believe this, and I don't care if you do. I have enjoyed watching our legislators at work, in particular some of our legislators like Leader Lou Lang, who is on the line with us. And it sounds, well, first of all, Leader Lou Lang, where did you end up watching the Blackhawks game on Wednesday?
I watched it in my usual location. I was in Springfield and watched the game.
You did?
Yes.
I did. So you went a day early because you were scheduled to come back to Springfield on the 6th, correct?
Right.
On the 4th. Yes.
On the 4th. Well, I had some early meetings on the 4th, so I traveled down in the evening. So I certainly wasn't going to miss that game.
Oh, I'm sorry that I was not in my assigned seating area then.
Well, we managed to squeak through anyway.
I think so. See, it has nothing to do with me, Craig. Do you see the superstitions? Although I was wearing my shirt, just so you know, sir.
Well, so that's important.
It is important. Now, let's catch up our listeners who maybe aren't familiar with what's going on. If people don't know what's going on in Springfield, I don't know where you've been. But we have a new governor who is a Republican. We still have a majority Democrats in the General Assembly, both in the Senate and the House of Representatives. And May 31st was a deadline for a budget. What happened?
The governor made a budget proposal, as governors do every year.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't acceptable to the members of the House and Senate, and we passed a spending plan, but at the same time, we announced that this wasn't intended to be a full budget because we needed more revenue.
Right.
So we had made some substantial cuts. But it's our feeling that you can't have an appropriate budget for the state of Illinois that takes care of the needs of our people, that reflect the values of our people, without doing both cuts and new revenue. You cannot cut your way out of the problem that we have.
Right, because his proposed budget both had cuts, and then at the end of the day, it also had a $2.2 billion shortfall because it was counting on that pension plan going through, but the Supreme Court overturned that, correct?
That's correct, and there were some additional savings that he counted on that were not there. So, in fact, the governor's proposal was a phony one, and his proposal did not match up to revenues. No matter how much he insists that it does, and no matter how many newspapers he tells that to.
Well, and I think that I've talked to several Republicans in the Senate and the House of Representatives, and you know, the constant call is for managing, being more efficient where we do spend on essential services, and that we don't want to have taxpayers spend more money, but we also want pension reforms, and we also want workman's comp reform. How are those tied to the budget, the pension reform and the workman's comp?
Well, pension reform is directly tied to the budget because we're forced to spend billions of dollars every year for pension payments. And if there was a way to lower that, that would be good.
Right.
However, we passed a bill a couple of years ago. The Supreme Court voided it on the theory that we violated the Constitution. The Constitution states very clearly that you cannot lower a public employee's pension benefit. We tried to do that. We tried to go around and make something happen. But as many of us voted for it, we knew that it was not going to be acceptable to the Supreme Court due to the plain language of the Constitution. The governor thought he had another way to do this, but he actually never proposed it in writing.
Right.
No one ever proposed the governor's plan. But even if he had, it would be unconstitutional, and B, his budget is based at its core on saving $2.2 billion in payments for this fiscal year, which cannot be saved. Relative to workers' compensation, that does not have a direct impact on the budget. It could have an indirect impact on the budget. The argument is that if there are less costs for businesses, more businesses will flock to Illinois and therefore help grow our economy. The Democrats in the House, had proposed some workers' comp reform changes this week. Not a single Republican voted for them. The governor condemned those proposed changes, but had nothing to offer in response. And so you can't compromise with someone who's not at the table. You can't compromise with someone who's not willing to talk. The governor insists continually on the House of Representatives and the Illinois Senate dealing with a list of 10 or 12 items that are not budget-related at all, and insisting that he won't discuss improvements to our revenue picture unless we deal with those issues. So that probably isn't going to happen, and we're going to have a long summer in Springfield working on this.
Well, and without a budget, how do some of the, there are deadlines coming up in July and August for bills that have to be paid, checks that have to be written. What happens to those institutions that rely on a budget being passed in time for those bills?
Well, it's a real problem. I've been through a couple of these, and it's a mess. The real rubber hits the road just after the 1st of July, and so that's when our fiscal year starts. We have to pay state workers somewhere around the second week of July, and if there's no money available to pay them, it could be that the governor will decide to shut down state government. I don't think that's an appropriate way to go, but he's certainly been threatening to do it.
Right. He already had a list of shutdowns, including state museums, the state of Plains. I believe there was child care for impoverished families. Is that correct?
Right. And as you well know, areas like aid for families with autistic children and aid for people with epilepsy has been threatened. In fact, governor had made cuts in those areas previously, which were rescinded mm-hmm. due to the hard work of people like yourself and friends of ours who have come to Springfield to lobby and advocate. And so some of those were turned around, but that was for the fiscal year that we're still in.
Right. That was for
the next fiscal year. Mm-hmm. There's real danger ahead for people who are concerned about human services because we have a governor who's not interested, apparently, in funding those things.
Well, go ahead, Rob. Rob Martier, our news manager, is joining us in the studio.
Yeah, thanks, as always, for joining us. Take us behind the scenes as much as you can. And beyond the rhetoric and the finger pointing, because each side can certainly indict the other for not doing one thing or another, what is the sense that you guys are getting as you stare at $100 billion in unfunded pension liability, billions of dollars in unpaid bills, a very untenable fiscal situation here in the state? How do you guys approach each other behind the scenes? Because we know what you say here with us and on TV and in the papers.
And on Twitter, apparently. I want to get to that, too.
Right. But what? How are you guys reacting to each other behind the scenes?
I think behind the scenes you'd find that the conversation, for the most part, is more pleasant. I think both sides recognize that there's a problem, and both sides also have a different approach to handling it. As to the $100 billion owed in the pension system, the Supreme Court gave us the unfortunate news that there's nothing we can do but pay the money. And so we're going to have to figure out a way to do that. They gave us no roadmap to fix this problem without simply paying up. Some think we can still cut benefits. The Supreme Court was very clear that we cannot do that. As for our unpaid bills, they were much higher, and we whittled them down. And if the state income tax increase had not gone down this year, we wouldn't be in the position we're in. Nevertheless, we are, and we have to work our way through this problem. I think the biggest thing in our way is that the governor has insisted that we deal with these non-budgetary issues before he will discuss the budget. Which is unfortunate because, in essence, he's holding the people of Illinois hostage to his personal list of agenda items. And we remain, as Democrats, available and willing to sit down with him and discuss any issue. But to have preconditions on sitting down at the table isn't going to work. We have to be willing to leave all items on the table for discussion. But both sides need to be willing to do that.
And to Rob's point, because he was saying, you know, rather than who does what, that is a roadblock. That's the roadblock. I've talked to people on both sides of the aisle, Rob. Leader Lou, will you hang on the line for us for a moment? I want to ask you about what happened yesterday with the discussion about the salary for the head of education in the state of Illinois and some drama that erupted after that. Do you mind?
Sure will.
Excellent. We're talking to Leader Lou Lang. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We've been having a Pretty Late Goes Downstate for the last 7 or 8 weeks, actually since the Good Friday cuts, what has also been called I do enjoy calling them the Good Friday Massacre cuts. There were social service programs to our most vulnerable in the state of Illinois that were, the grants were suspended, and those effects were immediate. Doors were locked by Monday. Kids who were in programs like social skills for autistic children, just with no place to go. And that was what kind of sent us on this journey of finding out what's going on in Springfield. And along the way, I've had the pleasure of meeting many of our legislators who are working very hard on both sides of the aisle with different philosophies. And one of those people is Leader Lou Lang, who joins us on the line right now. Leader Lou Lang, yesterday, it sounds like things got a little heated when it came to talking about the education czar.
Well, it was an interesting day in the Capitol, and so an article in the Chicago Sun-Times gave us the information that a woman who had been hired by the governor to be the Secretary of Education was being paid out of the human service budget,
right?
$250,000 a year. Nobody really complained much about the dollar amount, although that's a pretty high dollar amount. That wasn't really the issue. The issue is, why is she being paid out of the human services budget, not the education budget, or not? Why not out of the governor's budget?
Right.
And someone would say, well, why is that so important? The reason it's important is that's $250,000 less to spend on human services, whether it be epilepsy services or autism services or drug addiction or adult daycare, or you can go on down the list.
Mm-hmm.
And so the committee had written the governor's office and said, we'd like someone come down here and explain it to us.
Right.
And just before the committee hearing, the governor's office issued a press release calling this whole inquiry sexist.
Yes.
And a sham, et cetera, et cetera. And nothing could have been further from the truth. It mattered not to the committee who the Secretary of Education was. It only mattered why this budget hiding. Mm-hmm. Why was it done this way? Why was it not done another way? And so a representative of the governor's office came to the House Human Services Appropriations Committee and never tried to explain it, just kept referring to this as a sham hearing and a sexist operation, which is pretty silly given the history of the Republican Party on issues regarding women's rights, and pretty silly given the fact that more than half of the people on this committee are women. Mm-hmm. So the committee asked for over an hour the same question over and over and got no answers whatsoever.
Right.
A little later in the day, I took to the House floor to make my comments on this particular event.
Right. And then seriously, and then on Twitter, there was a Rauner aide who tweeted out, "Seriously, Lou, give it up. It is a sexist smear campaign you and your colleagues continue to engage in." And I've been sitting on the floor in the press box for the last 6 or 7 weeks. And I find it hard to believe that that's the kind of, that was the tone what would make it a smear on a woman why does this woman deserve this kind of money? Like, what kind of tone? The only way it would be a smear against feminism would be if you told her to go home and make some cookies, I guess. I don't even know what tone you would have to have to make
it. Well, I'm not sure either. So this is a governor who refused me when I asked him to help support the Equal Rights Amendment. I'm the sponsor of the Equal Rights Amendment in the Illinois House of Representatives, was a few votes short, and said to the new governor, "Can you help me with this?" And he said, "No, I can't," refused to do that. Mm-hmm. So for the governor's office to talk about the women of the Illinois House bringing up the issue of why this person's paid out of the wrong budget, and which would lead to a question of who else is paid out of the wrong budget, mm-hmm. Is just wrongheaded and unfortunate.
What is it? What does happen when you have Rauner aides, or you have anybody's aides, sort of jumping into the fray and, you know, sort of throwing some kindling on this? Is that really, you know, helpful in any way for whether it's the Republican side or the Democrat side?
Well, of course it is not. And for a staff person to make themselves the issue, mm-hmm. for a staff person to make him or herself the story, when the legislature is simply trying to do its job and put together an appropriate budget to represent the people of the state of Illinois, is just wrong. They could have answered this question in 30 seconds and the committee meeting would have been over. Just simply say, well, we didn't have enough money in that line item and we wanted to pay her and we wanted to hire this person, and so this is where we found the money. We might have liked that answer, but if that's the answer, just give the answer, the hearing's over, and we move on. But they weren't interested in doing that. They were interested in, A, throwing fuel on the fire, and, B, not answering a simple question about why $250,000, when it was in essence stolen out of the human services line item to pay someone who works for the Department of Education.
Yeah, it sounds like, and considering that, again, those were funds that were ultimately then cut on April 3rd, I think her salary was approved before those cuts were made. So it all does get a little bit sketchy. I want to thank you so much for your time. And when are you scheduled to go back to Springfield? Has a date already been determined?
Yes, our next session day is Tuesday the 9th. The House and the Senate are both in session.
I will see you on Tuesday, sir.
Excellent. Have a great trip and a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, and go Blackhawks.
Take care.
Thank you, sir. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I thought it was funny that leader Lou Lang did not mention where he watches the Blackhawks games, and I'm not going to...
I noticed that, too.
I'm not going to say where we watch the games when I'm in Springfield, because I don't know if I told you this. I've told our audience, but James, I have not told you this. But I was contacted by one of the representatives, actually two representatives, asking me to take down my selfish selfies, because I have, you know, they're celebrating, they're out and about, and they don't want people to know. They don't want it to come back, like, somehow in a smear campaign. Instead of doing the work of the state, they were out watching a Blackhawks game, which I actually think makes them look good, but I'm not going to get
yeah.
But I'm destroying Illinois politics one selfish selfie at a time.
Right. As a voter, I would hope that my politicians are out watching the Blackhawks games, I think.
But maybe you don't want them taking a selfish selfie with Patty Vasquez. Right? And I have photos of both representatives and senators, also both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats. So
everyone loves the Blackhawks.
And selfish selfies. Well, selfish selfies. And it's funny, they're actually, when we went back and looked at some of the group shots, there were people like covering their heads in the back, right? Because it was a huge party. And one of our senators, Senator Michael Connolly, said it was one of the greatest parties, like bipartisan parties he'd ever been to, was watching the Blackhawks clinch against the Ducks. So, you know, I thought that was a kind of cool thing that they all have that memory, and maybe it carries over to the floor of our legislature.
Now, I have this vision. You've spent a lot of time with politicians. Mm-hmm. I'd be curious. I have this vision in my head from a while ago, like decades ago.
Yes.
Where people from both sides of the aisle, Republicans, Democrats, would like, they had that camaraderie where they go out and get drinks, but they still respected each other and talked. And I feel like maybe some of that has been lost and it's been too contentious.
Well, there are some representatives and senators that you will see out and about, mm-hmm. you know, hanging out and things like that. But there are some that you never see. Like, I don't go to those restaurants maybe. Mm. But there does seem to be, for the most part, you know, they'll tease each other, but not too much, you know.
Right.
Like someone walks in the room and they're like, hey, Mike, you know, or whatever, hey, senator, you know, it's mm-hmm. kind of fun.
That's
regardless
cool.
of party. I don't know what party Sam is at, but Sam Panionovich is on the line with us to talk Blackhawks. Sam, what kind of pre-game prep do you do the day before?
Well, first, let me just start off by saying my phone actually died, so I am dialing you guys from a different phone. How's that for dedication?
You're very dedicated. And all of our sports guys seem to have issues with their phones dying. You are not the first one. We've had Carm has told us he was going to go out and buy a new phone just to do our show. So I do appreciate the commitment you guys are willing to, you know, the level of commitment you're willing to achieve for our show. So what do you do the day?
Anything for you.
Oh, thank you, Sam. Right back at you. So were you here today to wear your Blackhawks gear? I was actually sleeping down the hall when they did the big WGN group photo. Were you here for that?
No, I wasn't there for that one, but, you know, I did show up by 2:00. I saw you. You looked exhausted.
a little bit.
You got a nap in, right? Did you get a nap? I hope.
I got a little bit of a nap. I had dental. Well, you saw me after I had dental work. I did look a little ragged. I couldn't use the right side of my face. So, yes, I was not feeling great. I was not feeling chipper, as it were. But you were you seem very excited about the upcoming festivities for this weekend.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, no matter what happens, I mean, the Blackhawks got what they came here to do in Tampa Bay. I mean, all you have to do, guys, the road team, is really split the series, and they already took the first game. So even if Tampa wins game two tonight, you know, at 7:00 Eastern time, you know, they accomplished what they had to do. You get that split in Tampa, and you come home 1-1. But I think Tampa, you're going to see a very nervous hockey team because they were the dominant team in game one, Patty. I mean, it was their game to lose, and they blew it late in that third period. Now, the Blackhawks have total control, and the Hawks, I think you'll see a better game from Chicago next game. So this is bad news for Tampa.
You know, Sam, we usually wait till the end of the segment to ask for your prediction, but I have to know, if the Blackhawks win tomorrow, is it a sweep? At that point, do you think you're calling it a sweep, or Tampa will get at least one?
I don't know about a sweep. I mean, I don't know if it really matters how many games it takes, but if the Blackhawks win tonight in Tampa Bay, the series is over, Craig.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
whether it's
I think so too.
Or five or six, I mean, it really doesn't matter. The Blackhawks, I mean, it felt like the last game, guys. It was like little brother had the lead. Big brother
so
waited
true.
For an opportunity and then just completely pounced on them. I mean, two goals in less than 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a Blackhawks series to lose at this point.
Well, but I've been listening all day to various shows, and I'm not going to point any fingers at any of our hosts or sports experts at WGN, but it seems like a lot of people are saying that Tampa Bay is going to win this game too.
Well, I mean, they should. I mean, they're pretty solid at home. So even if they win game two, I mean, it's still 1-1. They have to come back to Chicago. And in the last 7 years, Patty, there hasn't been a tougher place to win in the Western Conference than Chicago. I mean, United Center has been so tough to win games on the road. And I think, you know, as long as the Blackhawks win these next 2 out of 3 games, they're going to win the series. I mean, we talked about this a couple of days ago. This Tampa Bay team is so inexperienced. They haven't been here before. They don't know what it takes in the Stanley Cup final. And this Blackhawk team, I mean, you can use the word dynasty or not. This is one of the most dominant eras for hockey in the salary cup era. I mean, the Hawks have been in the Stanley Cup title now 3 times in 6 years. They have about 4 Hall of Famers on the squad, a Hall of Famer behind the bench. It's just a tall order to beat Chicago at this point in the game.
With it being so challenging in the salary cap era to even put a team like that together, what fell into place for the Hawks? Was it the right draft picks? What did they do to be at this point to get a team that's this good for this long?
And tell us, people, that
what's happening?
They were
being
bad,
attacked by geese,
you know,
or something.
For a long period of time. They were awful. And they had the number one pick, and they took Patrick Kane. A year before, they had the number three pick and took Jonathan Taves. Some costly trades that happened on behalf of both Dale Talon and Stan Bowman. But honestly, I mean, they were so bad for so long that those top five, top ten picks accumulated, and everything sort of blossomed together at the right time, about 2009, 2010. They won the cup that year. They won it again in 13. It's just been the balance of the roster and the salary cap by Blackhawks management. But it did take a couple dull and dreary years in the mid-2000s, that's for sure.
Well, you know what's amazing?
By the way, Sam Panionovich, this is James Vickery. I don't know if you've met that. There you go.
Big Blackhawks fan. I played ice hockey 3 or 4 times. that's absolutely true. But I love the Blackhawks. What's funny is, like, I just looked up the other day. I was curious Patrick Kane's age, because I was curious. He's 26. Like, they're still so young, you know, but because they've been around forever. He's been in the league for like 7 years.
Right. And you just mentioned that the Tampa Bay team is pretty young. I mean, what are they, 12? How young are they compared
they're
11. To
some...
Yeah, they're actually, they just got off the bottle.
So it comes down to these guys, I guess, coming up and coming up faster and stronger. I mean, what were they, how old was Kane when they won their first Stanley Cup, 20?
Well, let's see, when Patrick Kane won that first Stanley Cup, he was born in 1988, and they won it in 2010. So he was about 22, 23. Mm-hmm. Right now, he's about 25, 26, so... I mean, this is the golden era of Blackhawks hockey, and you have so many good players that are under team control. I mean, you look at Patrick Kane, Jonathan Taves, Duncan Keith, Brent Seabrook, Nicholas Jelmerson, Corey Crawford, Marian Hossa, Patrick Sharp, Andrew Shaw. I mean, these guys are all A-plus players when the game is on the line. And I look at it, Patty, I don't know how much of a gambler you are, but I look at hockey like roulette. And the more numbers you have, the better chances your odds are of winning. And you look at the Hawks roster, I mean, 19, 88, 81, 7, 2, 4, 50, 65. They have better players than you. They have more numbers than you. And odds are at the end of a series, over 7 games, they'll win 4 before you win 4.
Wow. I'm very excited. I'm calling this in 5. Was I talking to you about how many games I think we're going to be done? Because I think it's going to be 5, if...
Yeah, you did say 5, and I said, I think, 3, which is mathematically impossible. But, I mean, this is realistically, Tampa Bay played better in Game 1, yet they still lost. So I give the benefit of the doubt to the Lightning. I think maybe if they come back and win Game 2, that would be cute. But even if they split it in Tampa 1-1, I mean, the Hawks are going to win 3 of the next 4, and they'll win this in either 5 or 6.
I feel like if Sam could, he would go down there and just rub him on the top of the... You're adorable. Look at you with your little gear.
They came out skating so hard the other night.
Do you think that so much of our attitude in this situation compared to other Stanley Cup, you know, playoffs and other, you know, just the competition here seems to be fueled even more so by the mayor of Tampa Bay and the stadium rules that we can't wear black and red in certain parts. I mean, that seems to be playing into it a little bit, too. Like, we seem a little more pumped than usual.
Well, did you see what Hulk Hogan said, too? He said, oh, Chicago's in trouble, brother. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, everybody was filing on the Blackhawks. But I think you hit it right on the head there. I think that the confidence right now for Chicago is just at an extreme high. I mean, even if they're down 1-0, or down 2-1, or 3-2, they know that they have enough ammo in that rifle to not only tie the game, but come back and win the game. And that's something that Tampa Bay really doesn't have. I mean, they're lucky to be here. I think they upset a pretty solid Rangers team. Tampa is sort of playing with house money, where the Blackhawks are a team that deserves to be here. They know they should be here, and they have one goal in mind, and that's the Stanley Cup. So it's tough to beat a determined team that has 4 Hall of Famers and so much weaponry. It's a tall order to knock off Chicago, and I hope that Chicago fans are willing to accept what is going on right now, because so many fan bases have been null and void for so many playoff runs. I mean, Chicago fans they better understand how lucky they really are for what's going on in this last 5-6 years.
Oh, I think that sure. This city seems even more amped than they have in the past. I mean, when you put helmets on the Lions in front of the Art Institute, I don't think they did that for any other cups. I know they did it back in 85 for the Super Bowl, but I don't remember them doing it for the previous cups. Have they? I'm just saying, that seems to be a little bit of a ramp up.
Well, no, not for previous cups, but I think the feeling is sort of similar for when the Bulls won 6 titles in 8 years in the 90s.
I think so.
You know, I mean, you knew the dominance was there. I mean, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and those guys, they won in 91, 92, 93. Jordan took 2 years off in the middle, and then again in 96, 97, 98. But I always say that you really don't know what you got until it's gone.
Right.
And I hope that Blackhawks fans really appreciate what they have here, because it's certainly, in this salary cap era, it is something that is completely unheard of.
You're right. And salary cap era and hockey is so hard. Like the basketball, and I love the Bulls and Blackhawks, but basketball is so different because one player can make such a big difference, like mm-hmm. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, first year in Cleveland, he's in the finals.
Right.
But like hockey, it's such a team, it's so hard to do what they've done.
Well, but that was what was kind of scary during the season was when Patrick Kane got injured. I think we were all kind of nervous about that. But they really, everybody did step up, and the decisions that the management made were really impressive.
Right, and like you said there, I mean, hockey's a complete team sport. You've got 12 forwards, 6 defensemen, 1 goalie. It's really about getting everything together at the right time. And, I mean, the depth for the Blackhawks right now, I mean, they're third line, ideally, with Patrick Sharp, Teuvo Teravainen, and Antoine Vermette. I mean, that's a top 1 or 2 line for about 20 teams out of 30. I mean, they're just so ridiculously deep. And Teravainen, who scored the game-tying goal and then assisted on the game-winning goal, I cringe at the thought of other general managers around the NHL just thinking, oh, my God, they got Teravainen now, too. I mean, he's 21 years
he's
old.
21,
I mean, there's so much going on in Chicago. And then you've got a 20-year-old kid who's the most dominant factor in game one. It's just not fair, Patty.
We don't think we have to worry about fair. We have to be the Blackhawks.
Yeah, and we can't get ahead of ourselves. We're in the middle of a Stanley Cup. But, mm-hmm. I mean, with Teravainen, it seems like the Blackhawks in the future looks just as bright.
Yeah,
I mean, you're going to make a move no matter which way you look at it. I mean, as far as the Blackhawks roster, you've got, and we can play the guessing game all you want. I mean, it's either Patrick Sharp or Marian Hossa, Brian Bickle, Corey Crawford. One of those 4 guys won't be back next year. But at the end of the day, you've got the majority of this core coming back. You have Taves, you have Kane, you have Keith and Seabrook. So, I mean, 90% of this roster will be back next year. So, I mean, it's a scary thought to think around the rest of the league that Chicago is still going to stand tall. Even after they lose a guy or two, they'll still be the favorites in the West. Odds on, no doubt.
This is such an amazing time. By the way, have you seen how many banners have gone up all over the city? I mean, we have our really cool scrims on the side of the Tribune Tower, but there are all over, like on the river. I think there's a little bit of banner, and everyone's got a little bit of banner envy, and they see one banner, they go out and get a bigger one.
I did see the one on the side of the Tribune Tower that's above Howells and Hood, right?
Right.
And then they're all over the expressways. I've seen some billboards. I have seen people selling T-shirts left and right all over Chicago. I mean, it's just a great time to be a Hawks fan. And if you are one, God bless you, because this is the time right now.
Yep. Walking out today, I saw a woman pushing a baby that had all Blackhawks. And then the actual carriage was also decked out in Blackhawks. She had a Blackhawks baby carriage.
Oh, that's fantastic. I actually ordered another Blackhawks shirt, Craig. It's hard to believe that there are more out there, but they keep selling them on
Amazon. I saw a baby with Blackhawks tattoo today, which I thought was inappropriate.
I think that's the same family. I saw them right before.
Okay, so Sam, you get to see the games when they're on home ice. So when's that'll be on Monday?
Yeah, game 3 Monday, game 4 on Wednesday.
Okay.
So I'll be at the United Center early Monday morning, win, lose, rain, shine, whatever it is. I'll be there at about 11 o'clock on Monday. Is there anybody you'd like me to ask to come on pretty late?
Yeah, I would love to have Andy.
If you could pick one player, who would you have on pretty late?
I would pick Shaw.
Andrew Shaw, really?
Just because I met him. That's
Shaw?
Why.
Oh, okay.
I would pick Shaw. Yeah. He was very kind and generous when he took a picture with my boys when we met him at the
Maybe we should figure out this plan going forward.
Mm-hmm. Why is Craig's like, I would not have picked Shaw.
I think Sam was disappointed too, actually.
Why?
There are some pretty important Blackhawks you could pick as well. Shaw's one of them.
Sure. I would pick Teravainen. Would be nice. Teravainen would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Any of them would be great.
Well,
Sharp.
Kara Vinen doesn't really speak that well. I mean, he is from Finland. You know, the lingo is a little off. But if I can get Andrew Shaw, I will try and run the cycle
for you. Who do you recommend? Sharp. Who do you recommend to a talk show host who isn't that well versed in hockey to talk about the games?
Wow, you just really turned that right back on me, huh?
I did.
I would go with Sharp.
Okay.
Or I would go with Corey Crawford. I think those are the two guys that are the most level-headed. I think they're funny, while at the same time they're realistic.
Okay.
And they know what it takes. And I you know what? If Shaw is available, I might have to say, hey, Andrew, you remember Patty, right? Of course you do. Yeah, well, Patty would love to have you on her show, and I'm sure he would do it.
All right. And I go with your other choices as well, Sharp and Crawford.
Yeah, we'll go with Shaw. We'll try and get Shaw.
All right. He's like, wait a minute. I know, we'll go with Shaw. We'll go with the one that you wanted. Well, you just backed out off of that. That was fantastic. Where are you right now, Sam? Can I ask?
I am on the corner of Lincoln, and it looks like Belden.
I mean, it was a corner.
Because groups of people just keep going right by, don't they? Whose phone are you on?
Yeah, well, people keep giving me the finger. I don't know what I did. I'm just trying to do a radio interview, and I'm just, you know, trying to hang out.
Yeah, you're a good-looking guy in Lincoln Park. You're fine.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Go enjoy yourself. Last call's in about an hour, unless you're going to 4 o'clock.
No. I have to be up early tomorrow.
Hold on a second. Seriously? Dude, no. Move along with your feather boa. See, I'm having my own situation. He's asking Esmeralda to flash her boobs at him.
Dude, oh, I thought it was
yours.
The other way.
No, I'm sorry.
You did have a boa.
Sorry. Hey, Sam, I'm sorry. I have to go handle some pedestrians on Michigan Avenue. You go take care of people on Lincoln. I'll take care of the people on Michigan Avenue, and we'll talk next week.
Sure, I'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, Sam. Thanks. Be safe. Have fun watching the game tomorrow. Thank you, Sam Panionovich. Follow him on Twitter at SPShoot. And more after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You didn't think that was going to happen. You're like, please make it stop. I
thought it was a commercial, and I went, oh, what a good, oh, this is playing for real.
Yeah. When did the lyrics start on that? The lyrics?
Well, that's what we in the business call a bump song that's been modified to have no lyrics.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you need me to drop that in there?
Yeah, I need you to start singing from
karaoke,
me.
Right?
Although James said he knows the whole song.
I could
song.
Do every lyric.
Go ahead and start.
I just know
it
the beginning.
It takes two to make a thing go right. It takes two to make it out of sight.
Oh, you're starting like way from the beginning.
Oh, yeah. No, okay. I'll do the whole thing.
Would you know the little talk part?
Craig's like, please make it stop. A lot of listeners are like, please make it stop.
No, go ahead. Let's let James wrap it up.
Did you know that there's a karaoke bar right downstairs, just west of,
where?
Just west of the Billy Goat?
Are you really? Talking about... Mm-hmm. Mother, so what's it called again? I don't remember the name of the bar.
The piano place?
I feel like I've been there before.
No, it's like two blocks from here.
There's gosh, why aren't we there right now? Right. Why aren't you broadcasting live?
Howl at the Moon?
Before that. Okay. It's a block this way from
Got
Howl
it.
At the Moon.
Got it. They do live band karaoke sometimes.
I want to say like the Blue Frog or something like that.
Oh, the Blue Frog does do karaoke, yep.
Am I right about the name of the place?
You are.
That is a place.
That's an unfamiliar situation for me to feel right. Yes. Because I get people's names wrong. I make
it's okay, Patty.
You have a lot of information.
Soak it in.
Poor Lizzie Skernick. I was just, I just felt so bad.
She should just change her name to Swanky.
You were just trying to help her.
Yeah. It's actually the name of one of the, I think it's kind of one of the names of the a mom from my son's class.
Swanky?
Swank. I think it's Swanky. I'm not even kidding about that. Sorry, Miss Swanky. I am not the best mom when it comes to being like one of the classroom moms. I was assigned to take photographs of the school play for Annie. They did a musical and a big over the top production.
When you say you were assigned.
Right. So I volunteered for different things and I said I could do hair and makeup or I could do photography. You do a checklist of what you felt you were capable of doing or interested in doing, and they assigned me photography. So I showed up and there were no directions, right? So
did you have to bring your own camera?
I just had my Wonder Woman camera, my little cell phone. Mm-hmm. Which
I would think like a camera. camera.
Right. I thought maybe they asked me because they thought I had a camera. Maybe they saw my mad selfie skills.
Oh, that's true.
No, so no direction whatsoever on what to do once I got there. And so I just started wandering around and I started taking pictures of them all the kids, like in their groups and backstage. I thought, I'll just get, you know, sort of these candid shots of them waiting to go on stage and things like
that.
Yeah,
that's cute.
And so, and doing their makeup and things like that. And then a mom came up to me and she goes, "What are you doing?" And I was like, I'm taking photography. She goes, "You can't do any backstage shots."
What?
Yeah.
They're not ready.
They're not.
Like, what?
Like, what is
you can't post
the Academy Awards?
It was very straight. Yeah.
Wow.
Only stage shots were what they had wanted, I guess. I don't know.
Were they going to look dramatically different from the onstage versus the backstage? Like, you won't recognize them? So.
I don't know. I just thought it was kind of fun to take pictures of them, like, playing, you know, like, they were, some of them were reading books, and some of them were just kind of lounging. One kid had, like, his hat over his face. I thought it was kind of...
Oh, that's adorable.
You know, about to get ready, like, saving the energy, you know? I thought that was kind of... But, it was an over-the-top production. They all had lavalier microphones. They all had cordless mic. There were at least 24 kids that had microphones at one point during the play.
Oh, my gosh.
How was Annie... I mean, I guess
Annie was pretty strong. I mean, she was, but then her mic would go in and out.
Oh,
like,
no.
So, and then she would yell and then, but not adjust for the microphone. So it would blow out the speakers. Yeah, it was good. It was good, everybody. It was really, really, I was very proud of the children. You are listening pretty late, and we are dancing in the All State Showcase studio, and a dance group, a flash mob erupted there for a moment. They had no music. They can't hear us on Michigan Avenue, but they were dancing pretty well. So
you know the reason why they were dancing, Patty, because you went to town in the Showcase studio.
And so they were following my moves.
I think they were just following your
exciting.
Lead.
It was exciting. I like to lead the path. Joining us in the All State Showcase studio, as you've been hearing, Esmeralda Leon, WGN radio personality here. She actually has her own, you have two theme songs, not just one.
I do. Yeah, one's a Bill Cosby voiced one. It's not really Bill Cosby.
That's creepy.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That has the misfortune of being 1 year too late of being funny.
Yes, see.
James Vickery does not have a theme song. I apologize.
I
maybe someday. We're working on it. Not yet.
It'll be a rap song. I guarantee that.
Okay, very good. A little raw bass, maybe.
Right.
Also joining us in studio is comedian Bill Miller, Dr. Bill Miller, who is performing at Zany's this week on Wells.
I am.
How's the week been going so far?
So far, it's great.
And you just did two shows tonight.
Two shows tonight.
So you're gearing up for the three show Saturday.
No, only two shows.
Because of the Blackhawks?
No, they just, in the summertime, they put it down to two because that first show was starting at 7 o'clock and it was done. It's still daylight outside.
Right.
So this is like the early bird people would come in there. This would be like the discounted tickets.
What time are the two?
8 and 10:15.
Oh,
what?
Always, so that makes good. A
that's,
lot of sense.
This is the first year that has ever happened in the summer.
Really?
Ever,
and
yes.
Let me tell you, it's great.
Oh, you don't have that 11:15?
Not for the paycheck. No. I get paid per show at Zany's.
Yeah, it's okay, but I there's something about going to a nightclub and it's daylight. I mean, there's just something about that. It's just Congress. I can't bring myself to do that. I just, you know, can I wait till it's
dark? I
like that
you have rules and how you will perform stand-up comedy.
It's there got to be rules.
You've been in so many different situations. You and I have both for years done. I've performed on buses, like tour buses.
Yeah.
I've performed in the back of a pickup truck. Not for like, that sounds very intimate.
Moving pickup truck.
No, I mean like, yeah, that would be weird. No, there was the pickup truck was parked and they had a sound system on the pickup truck. Okay. And I was like into a field. It was like a picnic and I had to perform for that.
And the worst, I was doing a college tour as a promoter a long time ago. He's passed away. But he would sell us, like, you know, a working girl on North Avenue back in the day. He would sell us. So between college days, we had like some dime to fill up. He would call bars and the three of us would go to a bar. We go to a bar and literally it's a big bar, just a boisterous blue collar kind of drinking place. And he goes, "Hi, we're the comedians." And the guy goes, "Shut up." And he turned over an apple crate.
Mm-hmm.
Did you put it in the corner? Had a clip-on light like the painters use to make sure there's no runs when they paint your house.
Man.
Clipped it on the top of his bar, pointed it to the corner, and said, "We're all having comedy. Okay, go ahead."
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah, I've had gigs that feel exactly like that. Right. Yeah. It was anywhere there was a little bit of room and a microphone.
And that was the first show.
That was yeah. I've heard some comics have done shows where they will do the show in a bar and then pass a hat for money. Have you ever done that?
No, I never did that.
I remember there was another comic, I can't remember her name, but she was trying to do comedy like musicians do on the street.
Yeah, that's got to be tough.
That's not.
That's got to be tough because they want to come like they think you're schizophrenic at that point. They just want to take you, bring you to the emergency room and give you some sedated medicine.
There
you
go.
Something, right.
Well, you have some experience with that. You were formerly the head of ER, right?
I was a medical director of a small emergency room in a Southern California hospital.
Yeah.
That's since closed down and is now a drive-thru.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Not a drive-thru emergency room.
No.
Yeah, that'd be very strange.
Now, the doctor doesn't know.
I'll take the Valium and...
Yes. Yeah.
Our doctor doesn't know our policy here at the show, but when something closes down but you care about it, you go into the new establishment and treat it like the old one that you liked. So now people should go to that drive-thru and ask for medical care, I think.
Yes.
Okay, I'll do that.
You're good.
You commit to its previous existence.
Yeah, you ignore the new establishment. I'm going to go in next time I injure myself in that area, and I'm going to hope for the best.
For example, on my block, there used to be a laser tag. It is now a fitness center, and I still go in there with my gear and just start shooting lasers at people. So
when I was a child, there was a Chuck E. Cheese that I care about, and now I believe it is a Starbucks, and I don't care. I just go in and
say, where are the balls?
Yep. Yes.
I want to play in the balls.
I want to play in the balls.
Every time the baristas don't know what to say.
Yes.
I lost my pager at a Chuck E. Cheese when my son was a little kid.
You did.
I lost it.
It was a while ago if it was a pager.
It was a pager. It was a pager. And I called him. I said, look, I lost my pager. He goes, oh, no, we can't get the kids out now. You got to come back when we close.
Yeah.
So page yourself. And it'll go off every 5 minutes. It has like a beep if it doesn't answer. So I came back at 11 o'clock. And, we found your pager.
Wow.
In the ball pit?
What were you doing in the ball pit?
I was playing with my kid. He was like two. I'm jumping around in the pit. You know?
As a medical professional, did you feel that was a sanitary place to be?
I didn't care. I took him in a shower.
Took
him when we washed up. My day and your day, we ate mud pies. We went in the park and made
your
mud.
Your day. I'm going to go ahead and say your day.
My day. What did you have,
We drink out of the faucet, out of the hose, at the end of a rusty hose. Yes, we would do that.
You just put your mouth on it.
Yes, exactly.
Right, okay, so which is worse?
A mud pie?
Yeah, I don't know about that. It was pretty good, actually. Just a little taste. You share it with your friends.
Anyone around the room, around the horn?
No. Yeah, what's a mud pie?
I ate a mud pie.
You ate water and mud.
Yeah, you'd put it in a Frisbee, actually. That was the best way to do it. You'd put it in the bottom of a Frisbee and make a mud pie.
What is wrong with all of you? Why would you be eating mud?
Weren't invented when I was a kid. That's how old I am. I crossed over.
I had Hostess cupcakes and Doritos.
Yeah, was no one feeding you?
Ding dongs.
No, it's just fun. Let's make a mud pie.
That's
and then
not
you
fun.
Make a mud pie, and then someone would say, okay, well, you go first. Ooh. No, you go first. And they take a little taste.
Where did you grow up? California?
New York. No, New York till I was 10.
I'm going to go ahead. Another East Coast thing. This is another East Coast thing. We're going to say this right now.
All right, I'll own that.
Yeah, because we were.
On the East Coast, we eat mud pies. That's fine.
That's what they call pizza out there. Boom.
Really?
You guys don't even know how to cut your pizza.
The East Coast thing actually happened off the air because our earlier guest, Lizzie Skernick. Author Lizzie Skernick was talking about getting your monthly visitor and that she was always jealous as they were in Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, which is an East Coast book.
Mm-hmm.
And Kristen McAllister texted me and said that she also did not get jealous. So we're going to say that that's the East Coast thing. So mud pies and being jealous of periods are both East Coast things.
Famously.
You see our jawline? We're not to Bill Miller. He's like, I wasn't here for the beginning of this diagram. I don't know why.
I'm trying to think of that last thing you said. Jealous of a period. No, exclamation point, I was probably jealous of.
Oh, there you go. Yes. but there's no rim shot.
I did silently because on radio, you see me doing it.
Because we were talking about it earlier, periods aren't like something that people should be disgusted by. It's a perfect natural body.
Well, you kind of, they're gross. I mean, they're gross, like, in that they're, it what
it happens,
is.
Yes.
Yeah, like, the thing of it is.
But we have a medical professional amongst us.
Yeah, but it's gross.
Warning.
Stuff comes out. It's not fun.
We are entering adult topics here. You have been warned.
Although I don't think it's really adult.
I don't. Well, you know what? We have someone who has worked in an emergency room as a medical professional. I'm guessing there were some sex injuries that have happened in the emergency room that you have stories about.
I can't talk about it. Part of my parole, the conditions were that I can't really discuss those cases, so I choose not to. But Go ahead.
No, but there are always like there is actually a whole TV show how sex and I ended up in the emergency room because of sex or whatever the name of it is. And then there's always, you know, there are nurses that have kind of, or you know, radiologists have collections of things that get.
Oh, that we have. That's an absolute truth. People come in with foreign bodies in them.
Yes.
Now, you know, previously I've always thought that a foreign body is someone from Europe, mm-hmm. but they have inanimate objects in them. And people will take x-rays and they keep it outside the emergency, you know, the room, the slot that person is in.
Right.
And as people walk by, they look at that and go, no, no. Then they peek in the curtain.
Right.
And they do that for 8-10 hours.
You have to improvise a little bit to figure out how to extricate some of those items, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, you do. You know, if you can't get it, you know, with any kind of implement that you have it, then you call the surgeon.
Oh, if you've done something to yourself that you thought was going to be fun and it ends in surgery, you have made a terrible choice.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Are there people, have you ever come across somebody who does things because they enjoy, you know, being operated on or being treated in an emergency
room?
Yeah,
they like the attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Munchausen syndrome, but it's kind of like that's a perverse form of the Munchausen syndrome. People will put stuff in them and then come in for you to get it out.
Right. Yeah. You
know? Yeah.
Which is an illness.
Yes, it is.
So let's not talk about it, darker side of all of that.
This is way beyond.
So who are you working with at Zany's this week?
I'm working with Sydney
Adeniyi
and Anthony
Bonanzo.
Bonanzo.
See, I'm not the only one. I'm not the only comic that's like, heard it both ways.
Yeah. Tony. I'm working with Sid and Tony. That's who I'm working with.
I visually like that. Sid and Tony.
Great guys. It's a fun show. You should come down and see it.
And how much of your experience as a medical professional do you incorporate in your show?
Probably 70%. Mm-hmm. And then the rest is like, you know, family and growing up, you know, getting older, getting married, getting divorced, having kids, yada, yada. You know,
a lot of yada, yada.
I mean, I don't want to do the show, but most of it's about, you know, being a doctor and growing up and encounters between patients and me and. It's, you know, from my different aspect and different perspective. I've worked with James before.
Yeah, absolutely.
How much of it is covering mud pies?
Yes.
None. Mud pies, if you eat mud pies as a kid, you won't get sick ever as an adult.
Amen.
Is that because of your exposure to germs?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It is. You're exposed to germs. You know, people call, you know, everyone gets sick. Everyone gets sick 8-10 times a year for the first 5 or 7 years of your life, and then you don't get sick again.
I wanted to ask you, what did you want to become first, a comedian or a doctor?
Oh, I wanted to be a lawyer first. My dad talked me out of it.
Any regrets? You can still go to law school.
No. Yeah, a little late for that. No. I wanted to be a comedian first.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. And then the professional, the pressures of going to medical school.
No, the pressures are like eating. I wanted to eat three, 4 times.
Most comedians are like, well, I'll bartend or temp. Yeah. You're like, I'll go to
medical school. Yeah. It's recession proof.
There you go. Right. We are talking to Dr. Bill Miller, who is performing at Zany's this week. There are two shows on Saturday, 8 and 10:15, and then on Sunday at 8:30.
At 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock. You moved it to 8 o'clock, summer hours. 8 and 10:15.
I've never heard of summer hours at Zany's. I've been working there for a very long time. You're making things up.
No, I'm telling you the truth. I'm going to get it on my phone during the break, and I'm going to show you.
Zany's.com for more information about the actual show times. 8 o'clock on Sunday, 8 and 10:15. That's Zany's on Wells near North Avenue. More with my guests when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio with my guests who have been hanging out with me tonight.
Patty?
Yes.
Do you remember last year we did a segment where we talked about male injuries in a certain area?
I do.
Okay, we have a doctor in studio, and I felt like it was only appropriate. We never revisited this topic this year.
Do we have to do the bell if we do it?
I think you got to get the bell out. I got the list from 2014. We did 2013's year.
I got the bell.
Earlier, so here's the list for 2014.
Do you want the bell, or do you want James to do the bell?
No, you can do it.
This 2014?
I'll bring this into you. These are all the worst injuries to males certain
parts. Wait, penises.
Penises. There it is.
I believe we were over 50 or 60 the last time we did this. What was my record?
Oh, 70s, 60s.
Was it something like that? There was a woman, this poor woman was packing up her Christmas ornaments, and she thought that she had left something on. So we were talking about injuries in the emergency room. So.
And we set a record for, in one segment on WGN Radio, or we assume any radio station, times we said the word penis.
Yes. So do we need a warning, though, because this will be...
Oh, yeah. This is definitely an adult
topic. This is definitely an adult topic. This is past the mid-90s. Yeah.
Well, do
you want the bell, James?
So every time?
Every time I say penis, you have to ding the bell. Okay. Or did you want to do it, Craig? Because I feel bad taking
it
away from
me. I'll do it.
Yeah. Oh, you have your own bell back there?
Warning.
Yeah. Okay.
Good. Pressure's off.
We are entering adult topics here. You have been warned.
Really, seriously warned many, many times this evening.
But we will keep it classy.
And we will. These are emergency rooms. These are documents from emergency rooms. This is the actual language that they use. And went to
that one was off. I think that was a past one. Right, that was a past one. We had a few penises that were out there.
Yes. And were they all out there? Were all the penises out there?
Okay. That were unbelled before. Okay, you're catching up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
These are all patient descriptions taken verbatim from the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission's database of emergency room visits. So I cannot be held responsible. This is official documents. I am just reading something that was generated by our own government. So if you have a problem, go see our officials about it. So this is something that these are injuries that have landed men in hospitals because they hurt their penises.
Here we go.
Dancing and grinding while at club wearing briefs and jeans developed bleeding from penis.
Done.
That's some grinding.
It is.
That's some chafing. It's more.
It takes two.
Yeah, it's chafing. There must have been something in those briefs. I don't think he used fabric softener.
That's too much starch.
So that's
exactly. Too much starch. They got stiff.
Definitely want to use fabric softener against your penis. Okay. Was hit accidentally in genitals with a laser gun at party.
Like the actual
penis.
Gun?
I'm
assuming
know
not just the
why
laser.
Why they're doing laser tag naked.
Yes.
Explain
that
to
that's
me.
That's how you injure your penis. My guess is the actual gun, not the laser. My guess is it was jabbed instead of pointed. Ouch. Poor James is getting remarkably uncomfortable.
I am.
He's getting farther and farther away from me.
It is actually sympathy pain. I get it every time we do this segment. Yeah.
Wait, I don't even understand this one. Was riding on dustpan when his penis got trapped underneath it.
I get it.
Wait, maybe with a broom?
Was dustpan a horse or something? So it was like, come here, Ginger. Was that like
I imagine many emergency room forms begin this way. Was inebriated. I think that has to happen a lot.
That's a lot. I've had a lot of those stories in the emergency department.
And struck a spinning sparkler in his pants.
Oh.
Yes. He stuck a spinning sparkler in his pants.
Sparklers.
Woke up next morning with burned pants and penis pain.
Wow.
I don't know how
you want it to shine. So
yes, I don't know how you miss it when it's actually happening. I don't know how inebriated we get to be to not realize.
You have to be past the legal limit.
Yes.
Man, where did I put those sparklers? Yes. I have no idea. Did I light them?
Friends who had lots of fireworks put fireworks together that would spin and explode, were the spinning and exploding type, tried running when it exploded, burned legs and penis. Mm-hmm.
Were they friends, these two, the one that woke up with the sparklers?
Oh, no, I can't read this one. This is... Okay. Oh, no, I have to read this one.
Actually, you know what we should do next year is we should just have you react to them and not read any of them.
But you got to ring the bell nonetheless.
There we go. Masturbating at home with a spatula and wine bottle opener.
How else do you do it? I don't understand.
Strangulated penis for 4 days.
That?
Strangulated penis for 4 days before seeking help for penis.
Was it really fantastic? And then at just one point, there was like, oh no, this is going wrong.
Diminishing returns?
He was strangulating it for 4 days. Didn't he sleep?
I don't know. What did you do with the wine bottle opener?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that one out.
And the spatula.
Did it have the bottle opener at the
yeah,
at the
why
top
did the spatula
what
make
kind
sense?
Of,
yeah, that's what the spatula is for.
Okay, some people really try very hard to problem solve when really they've created a problem much bigger than the original. Tied grocery bag around penis with a rubber band to catch urine. Swelling to penis occurred.
Yeah. I wonder why.
How lazy do you have to be? Right.
Wait, he tied a grocery bag, and then he's like, I need to stay.
Yes.
There's a lot in there.
So many other choices than
this. If you want an update at the halfway point, Patty has said the word penis, I think, about 25 or so times.
Oh, we are still not even close to our record.
I've said the word penis about 7 times, and the other guests in Studio Zero, among all 3
I'm
of them.
A little frightened to say it, honestly.
Okay. All right, I'll catch up.
Twin sister bit his penis through pants during unwitnessed argument.
Unwitnessed.
Yeah. That's good to put that in there. They don't
unwitnessed
think
arguments. Yes.
We're not sure that they argued.
Running an apartment and hit penis on a chair. That happens.
It's just the thing. Yeah. What are you gonna?
Have you ever like tried to exit a room and you walk into the door jam?
Yeah.
Like, oh, sure.
Like it just comes out of nowhere.
Frequently.
That chair. Someone just shoved that chair.
But he went to the ER for this. So how bad did he hit the chair?
Well, especially for some of us who are a little more special.
He was sprinting.
You're saying he misjudged his depth perception.
I mean, how hard did he hit his penis on the chair that he really, you know, broke
his
it?
Penis?
It depends on who he was trying to get away from.
Well, or toward. Toward. Climbing on counter, fell, struck bread drawer with penis.
What's a bread drawer?
It's literally a drawer.
It's very specific.
For bread.
It's where he keeps the wine opener.
Did not want you to confuse it with the other drawers. Not the junk drawer. Wouldn't it be more appropriate?
The junk.
That's gonna be the worst. Oh no.
I'm sorry. This is very serious. These are emergency room visits for injured penises. Did we decide last time if it was penises or peni? Doctor?
I have a couple second delay with this ding here, so you got to give me a second to catch up.
I think it's penises.
Penises?
Yeah, I think it's penises.
I think it's penises.
Okay. Yeah. Now we're just being mean. Because
I wouldn't
want to
say peni.
Now we're just the system is down.
Esmeralda, what do you think?
It's what you guys said.
I have a lot of words to get to. We have a lot to get to.
No, this is a really problem. I've taken care of people that have had
penis problems.
Yes.
There you go. Had semi-erect penis and jumped onto his bed on stomach, hitting penis.
Preemptive.
Yeah. Just really jumped the gun on that one. Attempting to take off swim trunks, foreskin on penis stuck in mesh in trunks.
Oh.
I could see that. Mm. Right? I could see that.
Kind of.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure. It's like putting your nose through a screen door. I mean,
I like the specificity in some of these. Reports pain to tip of penis when he hurt self when he sat on a fake camel at the park.
Mm. Like those little kid ones?
Yeah, the ones that kind of like...
And why
just on
the
spring?
Tip?
Just the tip. He did not commit to the ride. Reports, that was already read. Kicked by a young child at school who was wearing fashion boots. Injured penis.
What kind of boots are they? I don't know, they're fashion
boots. Fashion boots. Trying to have sex with girlfriend and penis was cut on belt buckle.
Wow.
You really have to make sure you clear the playing field.
You have to
make sure that there are no objects in the way, you know? Right. I mean, like when you're running to second base, you know, if there's something in the way, you're going to be in danger. You don't want to hit a ground ball. Craig is taking a phone call, so...
We may have missed some beeps.
I just want to make sure that we don't miss any beeps. Do we miss... There was just one right there. The penis was cut in the buckle. Tried to remove wart with string, and now string is cut... at base of penis. Now, this is something that has to come up, Dr. Miller, where people try to have self-remedies. Why would you use a string to cure a wart?
It's not unheard of. You tie it at the base so it strangulates the wart, and the wart will fall off. Now, it's not a cure because eventually the stalk is there and it'll grow back.
Mm-hmm.
But the part that sticks off above the skin will fall off.
But you want to tie it at the base of the wart, not at the base of the body part that it's on.
Yeah.
Right. So then you strangle the penis.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. We have Randy wants to join the conversation. Hi, Randy. How are you doing?
Hi, guys. I just tuned in. Oh, my God.
These are all real emergency room visits.
Yeah, I got a friend who decided to go commando, and he went to pull his zipper up, and the foreskin was hanging out, and woohoo!
He hurt his penis?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In the zipper. God.
How long did it take him to confidently zip again?
Oh, weeks. He had to go through therapy for that.
Physical and emotional.
He's still Velcro.
Yes. Still Velcro pants. Randy, thank you so much. Be safe out there.
Thank you. Yep.
Take care of your penis. Inserted a long balloon into penis to have girlfriend blow up for sexual stimulation, and it broke inside his penis.
What? She was trying to make a poodle.
Oh, man. Closed laptop on his penis. I'm sure he was just trying to get his essay done.
Yeah.
He was pulling it all-nighter.
All-nighter.
Did you say... Okay, never mind.
All 6-minute-er.
Yes. Admits to using glass meth tonight. Also admits to getting end of 2-liter bottle stuck on his penis. Well, if you're going to admit to one, you may as well.
Yeah, there's a lot happening.
You gotta cop to all of it. Accidentally kicked in the penis while ice skating, bleeding a lot from the penis. Is that a measurement in the ER? A lot?
A lot, yeah, very much. But
profusely. I would think profusely would be a better word to use.
Profusely.
Oh, okay. I have two more and then I'll go, I promise. Was playing with toy motorboat in the bathtub and got penis caught in the propeller. Fell off a teeter-totter on the playground. It came back down and crushed his penis. You really have to clear the teeter-totter when you get off of it. Cover of old-time desk fell, hitting penis. That's really why we're antiques are more dangerous.
Before we go to news, though, I do want to set a new record, and I think we got 70-something.
Yes.
So can you give me 20 more penises?
I would love to give you 20 more penises. Penis,
done
penis,
and
penis,
done.
Penis, 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 penis. Here's Rob Martier with our news. I don't think there'll be any penises in it, but I hope you take good care of your penis next time. You wish we'd rather be, but we're stuck where we are, and it's so hard, it's so far. This long distance is killing me. I wish that you were here with me. We're stuck where we are, and it's so hard, you're so far. This long distance is killing me. Aww. Is it killing you, James, that you are not in the same city with your beloved Kristen McAllister, who's on the line with us? We're doing long-distance love line.
Hi.
Our very good friends of the show, James Vickery and Kristen McAllister, our favorite married couple on the show. their marriage is conducted long distance. I don't know if you conduct a marriage.
We're conducting it.
It's a production. It's a TV.
As a comic who travels a lot, I do have to say, and Dr. Bill Miller may back me up on this, having been through two marriages?
One marriage.
One marriage? Are you on your second marriage?
No.
Oh,
no.
That was it. You're done with that one.
I'm done. You're done. I know what marriage
is. There is something about traveling and having a little bit of distance. I think that it's healthy for some people to not be. You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy.
No. Well, Kristen and I would say we both appreciate our independence while
we
still
do?
Being.
Did she say do
married,
we? What did she...
Right?
I said we do. We okay. do.
No, she said it.
Oh,
we're stuck where we are.
Yeah, I mean, she did not seem sad to go. Well, you're not a native of Chicago. You're originally from Louisiana.
Yes, I am. And yeah, I definitely enjoy the warmer weather.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because you had lived here. You had lived in New York as well.
I lived in New York for a year, and then I lived in Chicago for 15 years. So I did, you know.
You put in your time.
Time in, yeah.
And now, are you going to watch the Blackhawks tomorrow?
Oh, yes, definitely.
I was super impressed. Kristen, the other night, live streamed the Blackhawks.
There's a great bar over by in Hermosa Beach by the Comedy Magic Club. There's a great Chicago bar right there on the beach that's all Blackhawks.
Really?
It's all Chicago sports.
We're looking
all the time.
We're always on the lookout for each other.
They carry PBR and Old Style and everything. Yep.
Oh, all right.
I'll get the name of it for you. I hung out there with a bunch of people when I was there 2 years ago.
Okay.
They yell at the Kings a lot. They call them Queens. it's a little derogatory. So how's California treating you?
Good. Good. It's nice. Yeah. Good. I mean, you know. pursuing an acting career is very difficult, but otherwise California's great.
Well, that's the thing, is it's such a different dynamic. I mean, it's not easy in Chicago, and you did very well here. You know, and I would say there are very few people like T.J. Miller was really killing it here. Mm-hmm. And when he went, he had a lot of he had a lot of heat behind him. But, you know, for those it's not an easy place to conquer. And I feel like you were doing such a great job here. And I think there wasn't the logical step to go to L.A. Are you taking classes there similar to the ones that you were taking in Chicago?
I am. Yeah, I am. I'm taking a bunch of classes. So I was doing improv and theme study and just a bunch of actory kind of things.
Well, hopefully, by the way, I'll be out there at the end of this month and then for 2 weeks in July. Oh, Craig, I'm going to be in Los Angeles for a week.
Hold on, I got to write this down.
I should probably tell my producer. I will be in Los Angeles the 21st to the 25th, and then again in July from the 14th through the 25th as well.
Wow. Yeah. I'll be there then.
Okay. Oh, no, not the 21st. I will be at the Gay Pride Parade, I believe, so I'll be back in time for that. We are going to be the WGN float. Are you going to be there, Esmeralda?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'll be there, like, because I go.
You know, you're invited. I'm inviting you on the float.
That sounds scary, though.
Why?
Because doesn't Bozo come with?
Not on our float. He's on the WGN television float.
Oh.
Are you afraid of Bozo?
No, it's just very, like, you're Bozo.
And everybody wants a piece of Bozo.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
That sounds so fun to be on a float.
Yeah. Well, if you're back in town, I'll bring you as well.
I don't think I will be, but...
when are you coming back?
June 25th.
Okay, yeah. The parade is on the 28th.
It is? Oh, well... Okay.
Come on. Busted. Bozo's going to be there.
I know. We have a family baptism that day.
We do have a family baptism.
Yeah.
Look at you with your mental calendars. James is
She is the logistical master. There is no doubt about it.
Yeah.
That, Patty, or this is their normal go-to excuse. We have a family baptism that
right.
day.
That's very coordinated.
Yeah.
That is remarkable.
Oh, no, we have a family baptism.
Who questions that?
They're
exactly.
not even in the same room.
Who would tell you not to go to that?
Right.
I get the feeling that we need to come up with something when James and Kristen are on the phone with each other on our show. We need to have, like, questions, and we need to ask both of them and see what their answers are to see if they have.
Oh, I love the idea.
Not the same question. I have to see. Now, do you... You know, because Kristen, you're in California, you have access to a little bit healthier food than we do here in Chicago. Do you? I've seen where you take pictures of each other's dinners. Are you still doing that?
Well, sometimes I will text a picture of my dinner.
You did the other night, and it was a very healthy dinner.
I think that you should have like pictures like on an iPad or something, and like put it. Do you Skype while you eat, or should you just have pictures of each other's meals on the table?
I took a picture of his meal and pretend he's there with me.
Very nice. Have a candle going. I want to ask personal questions, but I feel like it would
Please,
be exposing you too much. I don't know.
Personal.
I mean, do you guys, you know, do you have phone sex?
We've talked about it.
Listen,
you've discussed it. But,
I wanted to tell a story that goes back to an earlier story, actually, on the show.
Oh, to when we were talking about Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret, and being jealous of other girls? Yes.
Yes, I wanted to go back. I wanted to tell a story about
Because our author, Lizzie Skernick, has said that she was jealous, just as the girls in Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret, the Judy Blume classic. They were all jealous of each other when one of the girls would get a period. And Dr. Bill Miller was confused by that because I don't think the guys quite get the dynamics of girls. But I was never jealous. It was a dread of...
I'm still not jealous. Like, no, I'm not at all. I got my period early, like I was younger, I was 12,
mm-hmm.
and one day in school it got all over my uniform.
Oh no, like a gym uniform or a school uniform?
No, my school uniform.
Oh man, Catholic school?
Yeah, terrible Catholic school. Mm-hmm. And so this one girl who was really mean to me, Trisha, she kind of bullied me a little bit. She was like,
Trisha,
I don't know where she came from. Yeah, she was like in school for seventh grade and that's it. I don't know where she went after that. I don't know where she came from. She was mean, and she started just telling everybody and pointing it out to everybody.
Well, and that was similar to the girl in our school that like left in shame as well.
Yeah. If I could have not gone back, I would have not. I would, but that was an option. I would have chosen.
How long did that story follow you?
That was like seventh grade. I mean, yeah, to this day, basically.
Isn't that how the movie Carrie started?
I was going to say, they're so lucky you didn't go you didn't go Carrie on them.
Yeah.
I know.
And like Sissy Spacek Carrie, which was scary Carrie. Right. Yes.
Can you move stuff around by thinking?
Mm-hmm. I can now.
Perfected the skill.
You are right. Men don't know how periods work if you can mentally move stuff now.
It's the rage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I told everyone that I could, that I sat in like, in dirt on the playground, and that's what it was. But nobody believed me.
Because Kristen has shared a very personal story, two couple things about this topic. One, I never remember when it's coming. I always, it's a surprise. I'm like, oh, that's today. Guess that's happening.
Oh, there's apps. You know, there's apps for that.
Yeah, I actually do know that. I have a Kegel app. That's a different story. It's a little cat that helps me pace myself. Yeah, and a number of times and three times a day, I have an alarm. Anyway, I was at the San Antonio Laugh Out Loud. It's actually called LOLs, and I was actually wearing this very dress. I'm wearing a printed black and white dress, and it's one of those things where it's better to be told, isn't it? Isn't it better that someone comes up to you very discreetly and says, "You have a stain where it looks like your period." Is coming.
Do you not feel like, does it come out like a flowing river that first day? Because
I don't know what happened. I'm an idiot.
Usually it's just a small embarrassment in my pants that I know that's happening.
I'm
all day.
A grown ass woman with two kids. I have a full time job, allegedly. I have several jobs, and I have a woman come up to me in the lobby while I'm selling merchandise. You have a stain.
This dress, though, it comes out.
No, I decided, you know what? Let's see how many people notice it. And now it's my barometer for social awareness to see if people will let me know. Dr. Bill Miller doesn't know what to do with this information.
No, this is, I'm feeling uncomfortable.
You're a medical professional.
All right, there you go. 312-981-7200. What embarrassing stories do you want to share with us? I think that's not going to happen at all. So, Kristen, you're coming back for just a couple of days for a baptism, allegedly.
Allegedly, mm-hmm. Yeah, and my mom's going to be in town actually for it, so I'm going to get to see my mom.
You know, you don't have to like invite relatives in order to like, you know, solidify your alibi for not being able to join us for events. I don't know.
Are you kidding? I really want to be on the float. I really, really want.
Right.
That would be amazing.
This question is just for James. What other relatives are going to this alleged baptism?
Just me.
Come on.
I will.
He had no idea. See, this is all, exactly. It's all lies.
I know. We haven't had a chance to catch up on our lie. I will say, Patty.
You wouldn't know anyway.
We've had, this thing happens, you know, we've been doing this thing for about 7 months now.
Yes. Kind of going this back thing meaning that you long distance marriage.
Long distance. And I'll spend a month out there.
Long distance marriage. Say it out loud.
Long distance marriage.
Okay. Thank you.
I think when I go out there sometimes, we both have our routines. And then all of a sudden, it's like this smashing of our individual routines.
Well,
together,
partly
you know
the
mean?
Time difference has to be hard when you get there, and what time you sleep till.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we were talking about, Craig and I were talking about that tonight. Like this, it's 1:30 in the morning when Kristen called in here. Mm-hmm. It's only 11:30 there,
right?
Or the other night we were going to talk. It was 10 o'clock here and 8 o'clock there. It's like two different worlds,
right? We have to synchronize. I think that you need to sleep on California time while you're here.
Me?
Yes.
That's impossible. I would be asleep right now. Just
Kristen, if you could ask anything of your husband, your long distance husband, what would it be? Anything that that maybe hasn't come up that we can resolve on our show?
Okay. Oh, anything that is
I can resolve for you. I
what
feel like
a
I can...
segment we're about to do. Do I have a seatbelt on this chair? Man, let's do this. Kristen, go ahead.
I didn't do my Kegels. I did not do my Kegels well enough today.
We have a surprise in the green room. Where it's going to be a good time.
No, I can't think of anything.
How much I miss you? It's this much. Oh, and I just stretch my arms out.
Can't even reach that far.
Yeah. I can't even. It's impossible.
That's not enough. That's the problem.
Oh, man. Well, Kristen, thank you so much for joining us. The next time James is on, we will do our long distance love line with you again, if you don't mind. And we'll figure
out. That would be great.
We'll figure out some way to brand it, too, so we can have some sort of a.
We need a theme song.
Well, you need a theme song, but also. And also, before we do let Kristen go, because we have had several Blackhawks games go into triple overtime, there was a night when we spent the evening with Kristen and James before she moved to Los Angeles, where we did our shortest show in pretty late history. It was a 6.5-minute show. We actually did a whole show. We played Thumbs Up, 7 Up, which I apparently don't know the rules to. And we also played the Heads Up game. The app, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I want to tell you, we cherish that memory of the show that that aired the next day.
That was the Cubs game, the longest.
They flooded the infield after Bill Miller. They had flooded the infield and did not know how to remove the tarp and ended up flooding the entire thing. So that we were here for the longest game in Cubs franchise history.
Yep.
And I've also been here for the longest. Craig and I have been here for the longest game in Blackhawks franchise history. So if only we could carry another sports team. But we plan on broadcasting the longest long-distance marriage in franchise history, if you don't mind.
Oh, okay. Great.
So, James, where are you moving?
I'm all in.
Well, Kristen, get some rest, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Okay, see you soon.
All right,
okay.
Bye, Kristen.
I'll see you sometime.
Bye.
Okay. Well, I love you more than he does. More after this on Prelude Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.
We didn't have time to talk about it. It did not make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time. I don't know. This is the end of the show. We gotta go. The end of the show. Go slow.
You know what we did not do? Oh, the elevator. Is the elevator okay? Oh, I'm nervous there. If the elevator went down, it wasn't coming back up. I got very nervous. I don't know who to call. If the elevator doesn't come back up.
I don't have that technician around.
Well, we have the doctor in the studio, so that works out very well. You know, we did not talk about last night or today at all. It was National Donut Day. And
National Donut Day.
It was National Donut Day. Marcus LeShock actually was out on Michigan Avenue.
I saw that.
And we got donuts. I was here for the Steve Cochran show because I now live here.
Yeah, you do.
A little bit. It's fine. I love it here. Plus, there's donuts. Why would I not be here for that? But I was driving up Hubbard when I left, and there was a – do you ever see like a line for something? And you think, well, are they waiting to see a performance? Are they getting in because there's something is being given away for free? It was. It was a giving away for free thing. It was a place called Fire Cake. And they were all waiting.
They're super good. Yeah, but I just bought some, like a couple.
How expensive is Fire Cake that it's worth waiting in line out and around the block?
No, the ones I bought were like maybe $2-3.
Yeah.
There's some that are a little more, but it was delicious. I had a bacon pineapple donut.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, it was good.
I could. Is there not just get a chair? Oh, here, I'm sorry. Let me get a chair.
It's fine.
I'm not going to make you kneel. Kneel before me, Matt.
No,
Bubala.
Do like a next. Like a lunge. Just to work out.
Do lunges while?
One knee. She means, I guess, get
or no,
a knee.
You know, like when you sit, but there's no chair.
Esmeralda.
Yes.
I've been wanting to speak to you for a long time.
No, that's weird.
I apologized to Matt Bubala earlier in the week profusely. I'm so sorry that I screwed
up. That is so hurtful, Esmeralda. No, don't reach back.
Can we just be friends?
She's pulling away from you. Matt Bubala, this is our good friend of the show. This is, you know, James Vickery. I believe you've met
him. Hi, James.
This is Dr. Bill Miller. He's performing at Zany's on Wells at near North Avenue. He's got two shows, 8 and 10:15 Saturday night and 8 o'clock on Sunday night. Summer hours, allegedly. James and I, we negate these things. We never heard of such a thing. I've been working at Zany's for a long time. My entire career, never ever have had summer hours, which I appreciate.
I like
it's
the summer
good
hours.
They
idea,
adjusted.
Yeah.
Is there anything in your life that becomes summer hours? Like, you know, the way you conduct your own family? Like, we're on summer hours now. Well, because the kids are out of school.
Sort of. Yeah. Well, the kids still aren't out of school yet. We have three kids that are still in school. They know nobody else who's still in school. They
Griffin,
got one more week.
My son's in school till the 19th.
Jeez. Oh. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yikes.
Mm-hmm. It should be good for you, though, because then they're
Declan's
not there.
Out. Mm-hmm.
No, it's fine by me. If
then
they
your
stay in
work
school.
Starts when school's over.
Yeah. But we do sort of, you know, I coach a lot of baseball with them, so life is just crazy for.
Well, you were supposed
April,
to.
May,
you were supposed to be able to sleep a little bit. You were supposed to do the 11 to 2.
I was.
Yeah, I'm very
Patty.
Sorry. Because you know why? Zany's in St. Charles is on summer hours, so I only had to do one show. What is that's true? What's coming up on your show tonight?
We're going to talk about the 606 a little bit with a reporter from the Red Eye. This new trail that's so exciting that everybody's talking about. We'll find out what it is, where it is, how to get there, and why there are no bathrooms.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because it's a trail.
Yeah, but there are trails
so
in the
what,
Forest
just
Preserve.
So what, just pee anywhere you want? Go ahead.
I mean, behind a bush would be better. But
the Forest Preserve has bathrooms.
Yeah, doesn't it connect six Hold parks?
On. Yeah, there's six parks that are connecting.
I don't know if there's bathrooms.
How
in
do you
parks.
Know that there's no bathroom?
Because I read the story.
I will say I have walked through many a Chicago park, and there's bathrooms, but they're always locked.
So. That's true, right?
That's so unhelpful, isn't it?
It's not good.
And misleading. Like, you get there and you're right. I mean, like, you feel relief is near.
Exactly. You get excited, and then you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And then you panic a bit, and then you look around and try to figure out where else you can go. Thank you for all the Starbucks, actually.
And I was going to say that earlier when we were talking about clean bathrooms. We were talking about hotels. Like, if you really have to go somewhere, just find a nice hotel. And
yes.
Just walk in like you own it. Not,
yeah.